It's time for Comm Cafe, the place where we talk about communications, we learn from and about other entrepreneurs, and in rapid response, we talk about little things that can make a big impact to the bottom line of your business. Now sit back and listen to episode 23, my interview with James Elliott. Thank you for stopping by today. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about collaborative books, or a collaborative book for men, by men. What is NLP and how do you use it in your coaching practice, as well as focus and flow. And in rapid response, a little bit about the importance of the team and who is on your team, your power team. So before we get started, let me share with our audience a little bit about who is James Elliott. So James Elliott is based here in Toronto, Canada. He is a NLP practitioner, coach,
and
trainer, and soon to be author. And I'll let James fill us in on what other things he does. So welcome, James, to Comm Cafe.
Thank you, sir. Much obliged. So yes, like you said, I'm NLP master coach, board designated master coach. In fact, I'm an NLP trainer. So I not only coach people, I also train coaches and certify coaches, which is really cool because it's taken my coaching to a whole new level by teaching people. So a lot of fun, something I'm really passionate. I get excited about it and love sharing it with others, sharing the tools with others, sharing the knowledge with others. And we were talking about story earlier and just sharing my story, how I went from, zero to a hero, a loser to leader, and how anyone can do it. I love sharing that story with people and, you know, showing people if I can do it and I've done it and I've created a business around it, a very successful business around it, then anyone can do it. And it's possible. You just have to give it your all, never give up, and do it the right way with some great mentors too. Have a team.
All right. Now, as a quick question, we won't get too much into this today, but NLP, 10 seconds, what's NLP? I know lots of people are suspicious about using NLP on them. So what's NLP and one MythBuster for those NLP not skeptics?
Yeah. So NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and it's been popularized by a lot of people like Tony Robbins, like T. Harv Eker. In fact, most military leaders, Canadian and U.S., in fact, world-renowned leaders, Barack Obama, Trudeau, have NLP and are NLP trained because it's an amazing tool to inspire others, to lead others, to captivate audiences and have real connections and rapport with a lot of people. So people use it in sales, in government, in military, in relationships, in teaching and coaching. And so I use it for both teaching and coaching. It's a very powerful, powerful tool that can have really quick results. A very, very results-oriented tool that's fast, it's powerful, and it works very well and very quickly too, which is why I love it. You can make massive changes very, very quickly.
Fantastic. So again, it's a tool that you use in your business, in your coaching, but then you also do coaching and training in NLP. So it's a good balance, or it's a two pieces to the business. All right. What's the book? Let's talk about the book today. What's the title of the book? What's the title of the book?
So we haven't finalized an exact title yet, but something about men or men unleashed or masculinity unleashed, masculinity 2.0, something around that, around being a real man I'm all about being the man you seek to be, being who you seek to be the man you want to be. So that's my big thing, and that's my book is going to be Unleash Your Power, Be the Man You Seek to Be, when it's out by the end of the year. And this book, this men's book, will be a collaborative effort between about 15 men, and we each have a chapter in the book. And we be given free rein to write about whatever we want. So I've shared my story, again, the zero to hero, loser to leader story I've had in the past, going from someone that's being bullied and beaten up and rejected by women, rejected by friends, attracting the wrong women, attracting the wrong friends, not making sales, having difficulty with my career and not enjoying what I do, and totally transforming my life into 180 and creating an amazing, positive, flexible, powerful, abundant life that I have now. And it's so amazing. So in the book, I share that story And I also share some tools people can use, how to change their mindset, and just some, I guess I'll call them frames or different ways of thinking and different ways of looking at things. That way it's no longer a problem. You're like, oh, this problem is actually not as big as I was making. It was a mountain I was making out of a molehill. So different ways of thinking about things to get people to take action and inspire them to go have whatever they want and go do whatever they want, despite what, you know, society says. And especially in Toronto, we all have to look good and have great clothes, great jewelry, a great car, be out in all these fancy restaurants, have a, you know, high-end fancy condo or house or whatever it is. Those things are cool. But if you're not happy, and I meet people like this every day, that they're not happy, they have all these things, and they're either not happy with their relationships, personal or professional, intimate or friends, or they have great relationships. It's just the job they dislike, yet it's paying the bills. It you know, I say, how is work? And they always say, oh, it's okay, or oh, work is work, or oh, work sucks, or work pays the bills, some permutation of that. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because they're doing that because, you know, I know a lot of people that do it because they make a great income at a job they really don't like, or that is just so at best. And, you know, if you do something 40 to 60 hours a week that either you don't like or that just is just so, it's going to have a major impact on you. And that's where I was years ago too. I know what it's like. I was at jobs that I, you know, I didn't really like. It paid really well. And so I was stuck there because I was very comfortable. It paid well, especially for the amount of work I did. And I wasn't happy. I knew I couldn't be there another year, let alone another month. So I was getting sick, I was getting anxious, getting frustrated, and knew it was time to change my life and do something I loved and find a way to be of service to other people and empower other people and lift other people up. There's too many people putting people down these days. The media is one of them. Social media can be another sometimes. So I want to be someone who lifts people up, inspires people to take action and to get excited about what they want and have what they want and take what they want, focus on what they want, and just go for it. I was listening to an article yesterday, and one of the biggest success factors of anyone that's highly successful in life is just to go for it. And like Richard Branson says, screw it, let's do it. Or Nike says, just do it. Or as sometimes I teach my clients, you know, say, F it, just do it. Whatever you need, just do it and just take action. It may not be the right decision. And again, I talk about this in my book. I've had lots of, you know, perceived failures, and I've taken lots of actions which, like, okay, maybe I should have zigged versus zagged, or maybe I should have gone the other way. Or, but you learn doing that versus being paralyzed with inaction. You're not learning anything at all. You're not growing at all. Who knows? Maybe the right choice, you might take the right choice. It might be the wrong choice, and you learn from it. You might take the right choice. And I always say to people, instead of being so worried and so fearful of all the things that might go wrong, why don't you get excited? Because you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Get excited. Focus on what you want. Get excited about all these things that can go right for you. Get super excited about that. Versus focusing on, oh, what if this and what if that and all that bad stuff happens. No, forget about it. What if all the good stuff happens? And the chance of the good stuff happening is far more likely. It's statistically proven. It's far more likely good things to happen. And it's also statistically proven that the things we fear, whatever happens, whether it's bad or good, the actual things we fear usually don't happen to us anyways. It's rarely do they ever happen, the things we fear. It's actually something else, either good happens or maybe okay if it doesn't work out, it's something else. But what we fear almost never materializes. It's so interesting. Yet we focus on that and we let it paralyze us. So just go do it. Just take action, push through it, do it, and the fear and the anxiety will go away the second you take the first and second steps.
Awesome. All right, that's fantastic. And the great thing is I'm getting better at it, just sitting, asking the right question. Cool. Not the right question, just asking a question, just listening to your answer. And I wrote a couple points down, so hopefully I didn't distract you by my note taking here. Here's a question though. So what if a client doesn't know what they want? So how do you, or what, a quick tip, and I won't give all your stuff away, but quick tip. One thing that you help people if they just don't know what they want. You know, they're working on stuff and they're attracting stuff, but they don't know if that's really what they want or not.
Yeah, and a great question. In fact, I met a gentleman last night at a networking event, and he's like, I have so many ideas, and I want to do so many things, but I'm not doing any of them. It's kind of like paralyzation by analyzation or paralyzation by overwhelm. and just getting people more present, more, you know, out of the clouds and on their feet and grounded, so to speak, to focus on one thing. What are the top things you want to do? Or maybe out of these top things you want to do, out of the 50 million things you want to do, what are the top things that most fill you with passion? What are the most ones likely to be successful, or the most ones most likely to make you good money? Out of those, all right, let's focus on what's going to fill your heart and soul. What do you want to do? What are you most passionate about? And we'll pick one to focus on, because your energy flows where your focus goes. And that's when, you know, and also I could add another rhyme to that, and your results will grow where your focus goes, because energy flows. So an unintended rhyme for this morning. But to focus on one thing, we also look at their passions too. What are your passions? You know, what really pumps you and drives you? You know, something might be exciting for you because you can maybe make a lot of money, but does it really fill you? And that way, are you going to stick to it? If you're not passionate, you're not going to stick to it. If people have no idea what they're passionate about, then we go down to some deeper intrinsic values. We work on them. So we find out what are their big unconscious values? What really drives them at their core level? Not just, oh, well, money and relationships and fun, whatever. Really what's driving them? What's driving them? And we can look at that and we can say, all right, so your deep intrinsic values are A, B, C, and D. How do we get you there? What actions can you take to get you there? And out of these, let's say top three or top ideas you have, which ones of these will fill those deep intrinsic values for you? Because they're your deepest values. You're not going to do something that goes against your values. That's something that's not congruent. And you will put all your time and money and energy into something that does fulfill those values. So again, it's very important to make sure that their goals or their mission or what they want to do, their ideas, will fill those values, because that's when they'll be successful. Otherwise, if it doesn't fill those values or meet those big values, they're going to procrastinate, they'll waste time, they'll avoid it, because it's not what, you know, it's not what's congruent with them, not what their unconscious mind really wants to do. So the 95% of their brain, their unconscious mind, is saying, no, I don't want to do that, or that's I'm not congruent with that. So they don't. This is why people procrastinate and stall and stress over things, and sometimes never take action on things, because it's maybe not what they want to do, or maybe there's this paralyzation by overanalyzation. So we got to get them present with a few things and focused. Focus is key, because focus determines your behavior, and then your behavior determines your results. So let's get focused.
I love that piece about it's just about I like the rhyme. I'm gonna go back and listen to that rhyme again, and I'll write that down. I'll put it in the show notes for our listeners. So I'm sure everyone's like, "What was that rhyme again?" And I'll put it in the show notes. So stop by the show notes and we'll write that rhyme out for them. Now, interesting thing was, we were talking about this last night in an event about the difference between excitement and fear. Mm-hmm. And how it's actually the same. I'm not the science guy, so I'm thinking you're more the science guy, that it's actually the same part of the brain, or the same triggers of the brain as excitement and fear. It's just how we, you know, our perception or our thought about it. But actually, it's the same triggers in the brain as excitement and fear, sort of the same chemical. So do you know a little bit about that?
Yeah, and it's super interesting too, because like you said, sometimes our fear, well, sometimes our anger can push us, and that's kind of another topic. Sometimes we can use our anger or frustration to motivate us. When it comes to fear and excitement, if we haven't done something before, our amygdala, part of our brain, that's our fight or flight response, it's part of our ancient brain, it's going to fire. You're going to trigger your amygdala, and it's going to hijack you, which is why it's called the amygdala hijack. So let's say you haven't done something before. You go to do something, you're thinking about doing something, you're almost ready to take that first step. And your amygdala says, whoa, new stuff, this is dangerous, warning, danger. And it's a natural inbuilt reaction we have. Interestingly enough, some of these fearless people, fearless athletes, they have a lack of development of the amygdala. So their fear response is much, much lower. So they'll jump off a cliff with a parachute or with a hang glider without batting an eye. Whereas we'd be like,
My feet are cemented into the ground. I can't quite get them to move.
Exactly. So it's really interesting, some of these fearless people, that again, their amygdala is underdeveloped. So their fear response is underdeveloped, which can be very, very powerful. Now, of course, it also may land them at the bottom of a canyon. However, usually they're daredevils, and they have all kinds of cool stuff they do, because it just, fear doesn't exist to them. Or it's like I don't know, the fear of maybe a bumblebee flying around you versus the fear of, you know, hang gliding. And then when you've done it a couple times, that fear will turn into excitement because you've done it. Oh, I've done it. This is cool. I know it. And again, the same processing part of the brain, a very similar processing part of the brain, it's now excitement because you've done it. And you know, just like me, my very first talks, my very first seminars, heck, my very first clients, you know, I had fear there because it was the first time I'd done something. I was excited as well. You have that excited fear. And now it's simply excitement. It's pure excitement now and thrill I get by working with people and seeing people turn their lives around 180 degrees. It's pretty freaking awesome.
Okay. That is fantastic. All right. So I know we're working on a tighter time frame today. I'm definitely going to have you back because I wrote down a point about anger to motivate. And I think that would be a great future topic. And like I said, that's a topic all on its own. Can't even touch that one today.
I'll leave you with a teaser if you want for our viewers, because anger can fuel you and motivate you, and anger can cause depression. Repressed anger, you don't even know is there, can cause depression. It can cause obesity, all kinds of things, and it can limit us, and we don't even know it's there. Anyone that's had any kind of trauma in the past, again, like myself, being bullied or beaten up or abused, anything like that, I can guarantee you without a doubt that there is repressed rage if you haven't actually dealt with it, especially at an unconscious level. So a little teaser for next time, and that might be holding you back from having what you want and being truly happy as well, and maybe it's preventing you from doing something or taking action. So a little teaser for next time.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to ask you my quick question because we kind of talked about this already. Rapid response won't be quite as long today, but really quick. Importance of having a advisory team for business owners. So we talked about you as a business owner, pretty much like a self-employed, that you are a solopreneur running your own business, but you're not running it on your own. So maybe a quick list for our listeners. Who's on team? Give us the name of your company first, because I don't think we said what your company name is, and then who's on that team.
So my company is Unleash Your Power Coaching and Training, because I empower people to be who they want to be who they seek to be. So I call it the Power Team, of course, because it's the Unleash Your Power Team. So I have a team of people, and I have an accountant. I have a bookkeeper. Because those two things are something that's a huge waste of time, not just a draw of time, a huge waste of time for me to do myself. It takes me longer, and I'm not earning money, I'm not doing what I love, I'm not working with people. So I make less, and I do what I love when I try to do my books myself or my accounting myself, and I don't even do as good a job. My accountant is worth every single penny. I hope he doesn't view this and charge me more, but my accountant is worth every single penny. My bookkeeper is as well. Also have an SEO gal too that does all my social media, search engine optimization, looking at hiring someone for social media, but does search engine optimization for me. And I have another admin assistant lady. She's kind of a in-person admin assistant to do admin tasks for me, data entry, books, things I don't enjoy, don't want to do, and things that take me away from either doing what I love and then making good money doing what I love because I'm with people, or maybe I'm out networking because I enjoy that too, versus at home doing all these admin tasks or counting my receipts or doing accounting stuff or worrying about optimizing SEO myself. Because again, I'm not an expert on all these things. I'm an expert on personal development, personal capital, personal transformation, and helping people be who they seek to be and be themselves, be their awesome, powerful selves, be their self 2.0, or their be themselves unleashed. That is who I'm an expert in. I'm an expert in helping people transform themselves and get what they want in life, be who they want to be in life. That's my expertise. It's not with books or accounting or numbers or receipts or you know, mundane admin tasks. That's not my passion. It's definitely not my expertise. And it takes time away from A, what I love, and B, what makes me money. And I see a lot of new entrepreneurs trying to do everything themselves because they're worried about putting out money before they're getting money in. It's a big mistake, which will cost them. And I learned an expensive lesson too, trying to do, heck, my own flyers myself, my own business cards myself, my own, you know, bookkeeping myself. It took so long It was so frustrating, and I didn't and couldn't do as good a job as, let's say, my bookkeeper or my accountant. Or my financial advisor, he's awesome too. And I think it's great to have a whole huge team of people. I love my financial advisor, he's a genius, comes up with all kinds of cool ways that I had no idea on how to beat taxes, legally of course, how to invest property, how to invest for maximum results. And it's all kinds of really neat and easy tweaks that we wouldn't even think about. Even maybe leveraging, if you're high risk, taking a loan out, instead of paying, let's say, I don't know, $150 a month towards your RSPs or to your investments, take a $50,000 loan, because $50,000 at about 4% is going to be $150K. And you're going to make double to triple the amount by investing, you know, $50K now into investments versus putting $150 in each month for the next 20, 30 years. So that was one thing I learned too. So we can have a team. Barack Obama has a team, whether you like him or not. Trudeau has a team, whether you like him or not. All these greats, Tony Robbins, T.R. Vecker, Les Brown, all these people have massive teams and support, because, you know, independence truly is the glass ceiling. You can only go so far and get so far yourself. You know, mentors are great, coaches are great, a team is great, again, bookkeeper, whoever, and a coach and a mentor. I think, you know, no one does anything on their own, and it's impossible for anyone to do everything themselves. A, we don't have the time for it in a day. B, we often don't enjoy all the things in a business. And B, and C, we're not an expert in it. So go see an expert. I mean, you're a financial advisor, Dwayne. People should come to you. And I mean, my goodness, the things I learned when I met my advisor, oh my goodness, and things I was doing wrong. And so A, he takes care of it all. I don't have to spend any time on it. He does it all. He made all kinds of suggestions. I'm like, perfect. Do I have to do anything? He's like, no, just sign here. I'm like, perfect, do it. So it saves you time, money, and energy, and it makes me more money to have a team, have a power team. And they don't have to be all quote-unquote employees, because I know people resist hiring employees because that comes with its own problems. Outsource, have contractors. Heck, I'm gonna eventually be having people, salespeople for me, which are contractors, not employees. They're 100% commission, and they sell and refer to me, and they get paid when they make sales, for example. People that make phone calls, I'm going to outsource that as well, to make initial phone calls to people who I've met at events and do appointment settings, versus me chasing people trying to reach them with, you know, 7 or 8, 9, 10 emails, calls, and so they would do it, and that's a better use of my time. I get someone live. By the way, never give up after 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 calls. Statistically, nowadays it takes 11 or more touches, whether it's a text, a phone call, a voicemail, an email, sending someone something useful, by the way, really works well. Usually it takes 10 to 11 touches these days to reach someone. So never, ever give up, especially after 2, 3 phone calls. They don't call you back. Try a different medium. Try email. Try texting. Try voicemail. Try sending them something of value versus, hey, it's Bob following up. Do you want to buy? It's no, hey, I saw this. I thought of you the other day. Here's something on, I don't know, leverage, or how to find the right financial advisor, or whatever. You know, here it is. How to find the right coach. In fact, I'm writing a small ebook on 7 things you need to know before you even think about hiring a coach. So that's going to be out very soon as well, and that'll be on my website, unleashyourpower.com, as well. So, yeah, I think I've gone enough.
Yeah, that's fantastic. No, and it is about putting that team in place, because hey, if you're in business and you want to be in business for the long haul, put the foundation down on day one.
Exactly. Instead of thinking small, you're going to stay small. Think big, and you'll grow big. Yes, it's money out before it's money in. However, do it right, and you'll be wildly successful. Wildly successful. I'll leave you with this. I once met a lady, and she was complaining she wasn't that successful, and she didn't have that many clients, and things weren't working so well. And I said, well, what are you doing around marketing? And she's like, oh, I can't afford to do marketing yet. I'm like, my goodness. Like, we need to have a talk. You can't afford not to do marketing yet. And it's this mindset people could get in. It's like, oh, I can't spend money until I make some. No, you have to spend money to make money. I've probably put in $100,000 to my business. Now, that's not to scare people. You can do it for a lot less. However, I decided to go fairly big when I started and have a big team in place very quickly. And I made some mistakes too, which is why it's wonderful to have a coach. It would have saved me tons of money to have a mentor or a coach when I first started, and now I do, because I see it saved me so much time, so much money, so much energy to have coaches and mentors. If only I'd had it back then, I would have saved probably $50,000. I would have only had to invest half you know, in my business. So have a team, have mentors, inspires, leaders, other entrepreneurs, people that are even more successful from you. Go hang out with them. You'll learn a lot.
Fantastic. And as you say, there's no wrong choices, no wrong decisions. We are the sum of our experiences. So if we didn't, you know, if you and I didn't experience what we have up to this point, we wouldn't be who we are. And hey, you're a fantastic example of someone who has learned from, it's only a mistake if you do it twice, right? If you
exactly. As Edison said, you know, the light bulb, he's like, I've heard between 2,000 and 10,000. But anyways, his quote is that the way to success is paved by 2,000 failures. I've heard it quoted 2,000 or 10,000. Either way, he said the road to success is paved by a heck of a lot of failures. And that's what all these big, you talk to these big greats these days, how are you so far ahead? How are you a millionaire or a billionaire? And they've said, well, I just made more mistakes than others. I was more willing to fail, and I was willing to fail faster, so I learned more and I learned faster than other people, versus just sitting on the fence, which is a very, very uncomfortable place to be.
Yes, fence is not, and the paralysis by analysis is not a fun place either. All right, thank you so much for your time today, James.
Pleasure.
We will have you back on when the maybe we won't necessarily wait for the book to be ready, but we will have you back on. We'll talk about anger, whether it's a motivator or not. That will be a fun one to talk about. All right, cool. I want to thank the listeners for stopping by today. This has been Calm Cafe. I've been your host, Wayne Richards. You know where to go. Hop over to our website, Communications for Results, if you want to learn more about what we do, or just send me an email at info@dwaynerichards.com. And if you'd like to learn more about what James does, check him out at, where are you, James, one last time?
UnleashYourPower.com.
Fantastic. That way I get it spelled right. And I'll also check the show notes for that little rhyme about energy and flow. Have a great day.
Thank you.